Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read with me from the screen the title of our message today? I Told You So. Based on our gospel reading from Luke 12, listen to these final verses of the reading once again. Jesus said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain.' And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot. And it is. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" I encourage you who are here to turn your worship folder over and find upon it the sermon outline as we consider together our theme, I Told You So. I told you so. In the English language, these four words, I told you so, are probably the easiest four words for us to say to somebody else, but the hardest ones to hear somebody else say to us. When someone says, "I told you so," it means that they were right, and we were not right. I can imagine when the great ocean liner, the Titanic, sunk, somebody somewhere was saying, "I told you so." When we're driving our car, we men never want to admit that we're lost or we need directions. Now, we may get bewildered for a few hundred miles, but we're never lost. We're never lost because we don't want to hear our wife say to us, "I told you so. You should have asked for directions 4 hours ago." And when we're sick to our stomachs in the washroom, we never want to hear some smart aleck come to us and say, "I told you so. I told you shouldn't have eaten that four-day-old sushi. I told you so." In today's lesson from Luke chapter 12, I've just read to you, Jesus is addressing some people who just loved every chance they got to say to somebody with their finger pointing out that, "I told you so." They were self-righteous, religious people who believed they knew everything about everything, including the weather. They saw west clouds and correctly predicted rain. They felt the south wind and correctly predicted heat, and they were quite proud of themselves. But then Jesus says to them, listen to these verses again, "You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but how is it you don't know how to interpret this present time?" Translation. Jesus is saying to them, "You know so much, and you enjoy so much telling others, 'I told you so.' But why is it that you cannot see truly important things, like, 'I am the Savior who will die for the sins of the world,' and that this world is coming to an end, and God's judgment day will come, and you're not even ready? Now, where are your 'I told you so's' now?" Sadly, there are many people today. You know them. There may be a family member, a friend, or a neighbor. Many people who today believe that God is just watching and waiting to pounce on them when they've made a mistake or have fallen with an "I told you so." Look how our first parents, Adam and Eve, acted after they committed the first sin in the Garden of Eden. What did they do? Scripture tells us they tried to hide themselves from the Lord. They did not want to face what they thought for sure was His anger. They didn't want to hear Him saying to them, "I told you so." But as we know from the account in Genesis chapter 3, God did not come to them with an "I told you so" and His finger wagging. He came to them with a Father's heart of love and said instead, "Where are you? as he came to restore and to forgive. The situation replays itself time and time again in Holy Scripture. Just one example, in the book of Judges, we read accounts of God's people who would not listen to the judges, the spokesmen that God sent them. We read from Judges 2. They would not listen to their judges, but worshipped other gods, and turned away from the Lord their God, in which the ways their father had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. They were destroying themselves. But they did not want to hear God's "I told you so" or the prophet's words, even though all he wanted to do was help heal their destruction and give them a new start. In the New Testament, Jesus, our Lord himself, sums up his frustration with a stubborn, sinful people who misunderstand God's love and only see him as a righteous judge with an "I told you so" ready for them at any moment. Jesus says in Matthew 23, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I would have gathered your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not come to me." All Scripture bears witness to the hearts of people who misunderstand God's love and his desire to save and restore and forgive them. How many folks do you know that are staying away from the church today? Because the only picture they've ever got in their head of God is a God who's doing this, "I told you so." And maybe some church members are doing the same. How many people today don't understand God's love for them, but only see God as a vengeful judge just waiting to pounce on them and gleefully say, "I told you so"? Now listen to these words written by the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. These words, to the contrary of this, these words show us the very heart of God. Ezekiel writes, "As I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. O house of Israel, turn from your evil ways, for why will you die?" My friends, on Judgment Day, your Father in heaven does not want to say to a bunch of unsaved sinners, "I told you so! I told you what would happen if you broke my commandments and you would not repent of your sins. I told you I was going to have to send you to hell." On the contrary, on that holy day, God would prefer to look at all of gathered humanity from every corner of the earth, to see every one of us as his dearly forgiven children, to throw open wide the doors of heaven to welcome all in. Now, in order that God would not have to punish us for the sins we have committed, although we deserve it, in order that he would not have to say to you, "I told you so" on Judgment Day, Holy Scripture tells us this. And as many of you know this verse, say it with me if you want. The 16th verse of John chapter 3. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So that Almighty God would never have to say to you, "I told you so." Jesus sacrificed his life for you. Jesus went to the cross bearing your sins. Thank God, my sins, the sins of the world. On that cross, he died for you. From that grave, he rose for you. The victory that he won over sin, death, and the devil, he won for you. Now, all things being equal, The news that God the Father sent Jesus the Son to die and to rise and to forgive us really ought to be the end of this message. All things being equal, just about everybody should be able to grasp the obvious fact of God's love for us all. To go back to the words of our gospel from Luke 12, all things being equal, if people can figure out which clouds will bring rain and which clouds will bring heat, they ought to be able to figure out this basic truth that God loves them. But of course, all things are not equal. And not everybody believes that God loves them. And this is true because sin, and because Satan, and because this evil world work very hard at making people question the Lord and His intentions toward them. And if you haven't been listening yet to the sermon, now it's time to listen. The misunderstanding that many people have of God is a I told you so judge could also just be because we church people get too caught up in our own self-righteousness and we're judgmental toward others who are not members or active in the church. This judgmental attitude can be communicated to others as a bunch of I told you so's. And this can drive people away from the loving arms of God. Just yesterday, we had a big funeral here. Tanya Schellenberg funeral with Kenji Shimizu. Wasn't it a beautiful wedding funeral. Duh. I'm sorry, it's the age, I guess. It was a beautiful wedding. The point I'm trying to make is after the wedding was over, I had more than a few people come up to me to visit with me who obviously weren't in the habit of coming into God's house for worship. They didn't go to church, is what I'm trying to say. They took me aside and they said, I was really surprised at this wedding. And I thought, oh no, what's going on here? And they said, I never realized that coming to church could be filled with so much laughter. I enjoyed being here. Then they said something funny. It wasn't even boring. I was expecting to come here and have you do all this stuff. And instead you told the bride and the groom and all of us of a God who loves us, of a Savior who died for us. We who come to church on a regular basis are out of touch with how people outside the church feel about God and the church too often. In Jesus' day, judgmental church people were called Pharisees. Of course, the Pharisees are long gone now. You can take out your yellow pages, walk down, let your fingers do the walking, and you won't find one office of a Pharisee listed in the yellow pages today. But that does not mean that the old, I told you so, God is going to get you attitude has disappeared. And look into your own heart, will you, this morning? Look into your own heart and into your own sinful nature. I've looked into mine. Let me ask you, when things go wrong in your life, what is the easiest thought to have? When sickness comes, and by the way, you should spend some very sacred and holy moments with me at the bed of Harold Boucher and Joanne. I've been there day after day in these last couple of weeks. Every time saying goodbye to Harold, and I'll see you again, if not now, in heaven. As I make those visits, my faith is strengthened. For there I don't hear a heart that says, God, why are you doing this to me? But look into our own hearts for a moment. When sickness comes to us, when a job is lost, when the kids get in trouble, when finances are weak, when the medical tests come back not the way we want them to come back, what is so easy for us to think? What is it so easy for us to say? Who is it so easy for us to blame? Are we too often among those people? When things go well, we say this: I've deserved it. You've heard me say it before. When you pat yourself on the head too often, this is what happens. It's so easy to pat ourselves on the head when things go well, but when things go wrong, our sinful natures take over and we say, why did you do this to me, God? Things go well, we get the credit. Things go not as we want, we blame God. Too many people today are convinced that God is just waiting to bring them grief, cause them problems, let them know they're not good enough, and declare to them, I told you so. My friends, if this is how you feel today, I have two words for you. Stop it. God has no desire to tell you, I told you so. Now or on Judgment Day. He has shown you in the life and death and resurrection of His precious Son, Jesus, that He wants to be your Savior and not your judge. The truth is, though, for those who to the bitter end stubbornly refuse His love, Judgment Day will come. But this is not God's desire. Now, we have quoted from John 3:16 earlier, and many of you have it memorized, but many of us forget to look at the next verse. Listen to John 3:16 and 17 now. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And now verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. God's desire is not to condemn. His chief desire is not to say, I told you so, but to say, I love you so. What can I do to explain this better? Maybe a final story will help. It's a story that's been told to me by a pastor who is very much overweight. A pastor who's carrying way too many pounds for his own well-being. This man asked his little son one day, how much do you love me? And the boy said, Dad, I love you $1,000,000. And the dad, with a twinkle in his eye, showing that he was playing a game, he said, well, son, due to inflation, $1,000,000 isn't worth that much anymore. Is $1,000,000 all that you love me? And the boy said, Daddy, I love you $1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 Now, with a grin, the father asked a question about money from other countries at that time. And he said, well, how about Italian lira, Swiss francs, German marks, Chinese yen, British pounds? Son, how many pounds do you love me? With a response faster than the dad could have expected, the little boy comes to his dad and pats his big tummy and says, Dad, I think you already got all the pounds you need. How much does God love you? He loves you more than all the dollars, the liras, the francs, the marks, the yens, the pounds in the entire world. Look into that Bethlehem manger. See there the infant Jesus born for you. Stand before Calvary's cross. See the crucified Lord giving His life and shedding His blood for you. Go to that Easter Sunday morning tomb. gaze into that empty tomb and hear the angel's words, "He is risen! He's risen indeed." God loves you. All of that. And in every page of Holy Scripture, He declares with joy, "I've told you so. I love you so." In the name of Jesus, my friends, believe it. Amen.